Roll down tide.
From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, this is the Beer Garden presented by Oxford Crystal.
I'd like to hear a little bit more conviction in your take, though. There was a lot of maybes, a lot of what ifs, a lot of questions. You need to just get on here. You need to fire and put me in a position where I have to tell you that you're wrong.
And now, here's your host, Neil McCready.
Nice. Nice.
Welcome into the Oxford Crystal Beer Garden. I am your host, Neil McCready. Today on the show, my buddy Taylor Zarzer. It's always good to catch up with Taylor. It's been a tough week here in Oxford, and sometimes in tough weeks, you just want to talk to a buddy, and there aren't too many people in this business, or quite frankly, on this earth, who are better pals of mine than Taylor. So we talked to Taylor about a bunch of stuff, about Major League Baseball, about golf, believe it or not, college baseball, college basketball, the NCAA tournament underway as we record this, and a couple of other things as well. So about 50, 51 minutes with Taylor. We'll get to that in just a little bit. Taylor, of course, is part of Sirius XM. He and Greg McElroy host the First Team every morning on Sirius XM Radio. In addition, he hosts Dale Earnhardt Jr.'s official weekly podcast, and he is the radio voice for some of golf's major championships. Taylor will be in Augusta, first part of next month, for the Masters, which is kind of, I guess, the unofficial kickoff to the Masters season. I should say the major season in professional golf. So we'll talk to Taylor here in a bit. First, let me tell you about the Oxford Crystal. It's out on Highway 6 West in Oxford right now. You can go out there. It's right next to the Oxford Exxon, so you can fill up at the Oxford Exxon, then stop next door and get 10 crystals and 10 wings for $10 all day at the Oxford Crystal. They've got the bigger breakfast combo as well, the fresh cracked eggs. You can now, it's new with the French toast sticks, the log cabin syrup there. Then you have the heads or tails, take your pick, the double dozen combo, 24 shrimp, medium fry and drink, or the surf and turf combo, 12 shrimp, 2 crystals, medium fry and drink. All of that at Crystal. You can get the mix 5 for $5, featuring the shrimp po' boy there at Crystal. So there's so much you can get. 24 hours a day, breakfast, lunch, dinner, you can get the snack. It's all there at the Oxford Crystal, Highway 6 West in Oxford, just next to the Oxford Exxon. In addition, we are brought to you from Clark Ford Studios, Clark Ford in Amory, Mississippi. 662-257-1900 is the number. ClarkFordInc.com is the website. You can call that number. You ask for Corey Clark. You tell Corey what new Ford you're looking for. He will send you a quote within 15 minutes in business hours. It's that simple. Or you can go to the website, ClarkFordInc.com. That's ClarkFordInc.com. The photos on the site are photos of vehicles that are actually at Clark Ford. You can request a quote by email. Most dealers will not send you an email quote. Corey will. Why? Because there's no haggling. Straight to the bottom line at Clark Ford. It's easy car buying experience at Clark Ford in Amory, 662-257-1900 or ClarkFordInc.com. Earlier in the week, we talked to Chris Landry of LandryFootball.com. NFL scout. We also talked to Ryan Brown of WJOX in Birmingham, talked about the radio business a little bit, and I kind of dovetailed off that as we got started with Taylor talking about how do you make a national show that is college football centric work all year round. And he had some interesting thoughts. It led into some other topics, as I figured it might. So take a listen. Taylor Zarzer of Sirius XM here on the Oxford Crystal Beer Garden. All right, Taylor, thanks for joining me. I really appreciate it, as always. It's good to hear your voice, if you want to know the truth. How you been?
I've been doing well. I would imagine we're going to talk a whole lot less golf than we have in the past, since my man Jeffrey is no longer with us, on this podcast, at least. I know he's moved on to big-time opportunities in Memphis, but chances are you're not going to be asking me golf questions.
I might ask a golf question or two, but probably not nearly as much as Jeffrey would. I mean, I can ask about the main people. As you remember, when you and I did radio together, when we turned to golf, I usually found something else to distract me. I just I like the sport. I just don't know much about it, and I can't watch a person swing and go, that's a good swing or it's a bad swing or whatever. I just watch the ball. So I don't.
No, we used to make all these picks when you and I were doing a show a long time ago. These people call in, and one guy, I'd never forget this. One guy called in and said, Neil, what do you think? And I said, he's writing an Auburn game story right now. So
it was my chance to catch up on work. I always liked it. We'd have like a 15-minute golf segment, and I'm like, hey, it's 15 minutes. I can get this thing done because I'm a pretty quick writer. I'm like, I've got this basketball story that needs to be written. Here we go. I'm going to knock it out right now. It always kind of worked out. So you and Greg McElroy on SiriusXM, I'm curious because I was talking to Ryan Brown yesterday, and we were talking about, you know, making radio work in Birmingham and kind of how they do it. You've done radio in Mobile. You've done it in Charlotte, Raleigh. You've been in different markets where there are different emphases, I guess. You're there nationally now and working primarily on a show that's about college sports, primarily about college football. Are you surprised that you can make college football work year-round on a national show? Would you have believed that a decade ago?
No, I wouldn't. And I will tell you that it's a challenge. I mean, I will admit that freely, and I've said it on the air, so I can certainly say it here. But from August to through January, it's fish in a barrel. It's just unbelievable, the interest. But there is an off season for sure. And at this time of year, as you know, for really about a 4-week stretch, really the last week of the regular season in college basketball, championship week, and then the weeks of March Madness, for that 4 or 5 week period, people get really excited about college basketball. But even during March Madness, they're not as excited about college basketball as our audience is in the middle of November or October for college football. College football just dwarfs it. I mean, we had Reese Davis on the show today. Reese certainly compensated at a higher level, has very similar responsibilities in this world with college football and college basketball. And he said the same thing. I mean, it is much more of a niche sport, but we do have an off season. I mean, from April to once we get to the conference media days, there are people that are fired up to talk to us, but it's not nearly as passionate as it would be, you know, during the season or throughout the year on a local radio station. Now, having said that, I'm not going back if I have a choice. I love what I'm doing and who I'm doing it for. It's really been the best career decision I've ever made. But it's a bit different, Neil, because as I know you've heard many times, it's a channel. It's not a radio station. And I like that. There are a lot of advantages to it. But it's definitely been a transition for me, because a radio station, you're always going to try to have this chemistry and this rhythm on the show every day. And on a channel, you want to have as many voices as possible, and you want a college basketball expert one day and a college football expert the next to kind of be your co-host. So it is programmed a bit different. I like it a lot. It works really well for me. The one knock on me, I think, probably that I would give myself as a local radio talk show host is that I'm not as willing to take chances as most people are, unless I absolutely am sure that I am damaging someone or ripping someone and I know it to be true. I don't like to shoot from the hip as much as most people do in radio, and I'm probably not as funny as most people are when I'm ripping them. You don't have to do as much of that with what I'm doing now. And listen, Ryan Brown, by the way, is somebody I respect as much as anybody in local radio. And he has found a great spot for himself, to his credit, not having to take those chances either, because he's not wired that way. But it really does work for me. But it has been a big transition, really big.
Yeah, I think about it all the time, because I've done a lot of radio, and I'll do radio hits for people and stuff. And I can tell sometimes they get me on because they think that I'm going to give them hot takes. And then when I don't give them hot takes, they're almost kind of disappointed. Like, yeah, but you have this reputation of being controversial or whatever. And I'm like, it's not really controversial. I might be opinionated, but I'm not one of these people that pretends to have a compelling opinion on everything. And the people that do that, I don't know how they keep up with it all.
Yeah, I'm both of us, you especially, are very passionate people, and we're going to tell the truth, you know, no matter what. But I do think that what I appreciate most about SiriusXM is that, at least on the college channel that I'm on, you don't have to manufacture the truth. They want energy. They want you to have fun, but they want you to be an extension of college sports, of the people that you're covering, and they want us to go to as many games as possible and interview as many coaches as possible. And it's more about an extension of the relationships that we have. At least that's what I've been asked to do, and that really does work for me. So I'm happy doing that, and I have to be honest with you, I really want to do it for a long time.
I know that that you love college football and it's your thing, but you're a pretty big hoops guy. I mean, you and then you spent some time in North Carolina, a good bit of time in North Carolina. You live in North Carolina, where, at least to my knowledge, college basketball is probably the king. How hard is it for you in the month of March to not be at the tournament and instead be doing spring football games, which are meaningful for your channel and stuff, but let's face it, it's spring football. When South Carolina plays South Carolina, South Carolina's going to win, South Carolina's going to lose, and they're going to take 5 months off.
Yeah, shameless plug. This will be this game you're referencing will be on SEC Network Television on April the 1st, a week before Ole Miss will be on SEC Network. But it's a bit of a transition to do spring football. But I have to tell you, Neil, college basketball is just not the same as it once was. And you're right. I've lived here now for, 14 years almost. And it is for the longest time, it was religion. But the one and done has had such a negative impact on the game. And I don't blame any of these players. We had Roy Williams on the show this morning, and he's tried to recruit all of them. And he certainly doesn't blame them either. But I don't blame any of these players for the decision they've made. Lord knows I'd do the same thing. But sure, the fact that they're allowed to make that decision has had a real negative effect on college basketball. There are 5 or 6 programs in college basketball that resonate with the casual fan across the country. And if the players at those schools, Kentucky, Duke, Carolina, Kansas, Indiana, or UCLA, if you want to throw them in there, if their best players are leaving every year, the casual sports fan is not going to know who the best players are. Maybe they're starting to become familiar with Malik Monk. I don't think they know who Kansas's players are. They might know who Jason Tatum or Luke Kennard is at Duke. They probably don't know any of the players at Carolina. I know they know who Lonzo Ball is because his father's crazy.
Yeah.
But they don't know who the players are. There aren't nearly as many identifiable college basketball players, and that's had an impact on me and how much I've enjoyed watching the game. And it's certainly had an impact on my audience. And the last few years I was on throughout North Carolina, and then the first 4 years I've been on at SiriusXM, the interest level in college basketball seems to be waning, and it's alarming. We talk often about how to fix that, but that has changed. It has changed over the years, and my passion for the sport certainly has changed, where now I'm much more interested all the time in college football and in golf. I have a whole lot of golf responsibilities for SiriusXM, and as you know, I've always enjoyed that, and I'm enjoying it as much right now as I ever have.
Isn't that funny? I was thinking, as you were saying that, you were saying those schools, you said Kansas, and I said, well, Jackson and Mason, and you said UCLA, and I thought Ball. Of course, everybody knows Ball because his dad's insane. And I knew about, you know, a couple of kids at Duke. Here's North Carolina, this arguably the most storied program in college basketball. If it's not number one, it's no lower than number three. And I can't think of one of their players. I can think of their coach, and I can kind of envision them, but I can't think of a player's name. I mean, I could Google it right now, but I can't think of a player's name to save my life.
Yeah, no, I think
isn't that crazy?
I think you. No, it does sound crazy, And I think that when they're on, you might say, oh, yeah, I remember Justin Jackson, yeah, or I remember Joel Berry's got big hair, or Kennedy Meeks, their big man, has been there forever. But the country doesn't know who those guys are. Those guys are not going to be – Jackson, maybe, but those guys aren't going to be NBA All-Stars. I don't think Justin Jackson's going to be an NBA All-Star. So it is. It's different, and there's no question that the NCAA cloud – that has been over this program for 7 years, is a huge reason for what you and I are discussing. They tried to – Brandon Ingram, who ended up going to Duke, was the biggest North Carolina fan in the world, but he wasn't sure that North Carolina was going to be eligible for the postseason tournament. And he's only playing 1 year of college, so he said, I'm going to go to Duke instead. And he's out, and he's now in the NBA. They tried to get Malik Monk. They tried to get the kid at Kansas. Josh Jackson. Yeah. I wanted to say Justin Jackson. They tried to get Josh Jackson. They tried to get Lonzo Ball. They're trying to get those players, but they can't because of the cloud that has been hanging over the program. And, you know, once the NCAA, you know, as Ole Miss is going through this process, a lot of North Carolina fans have become frustrated. Why is North Carolina twisting in the wind and the Ole Miss process is going so much quicker? North Carolina's process is the biggest mess you've ever heard of. I mean, it goes back 20, 30 years, and it has so many different layers to it. And it is so much harder to prove exactly what happened. Everyone believes there was wrongdoing, but they don't necessarily have anyone that has, I guess, a word that you guys are using a lot these days. They don't have someone that is singing right now, and they can't corroborate what they're singing. Rashad McCants did a lot of singing, and it turned out that it was impossible, some of the stories he was telling. He just was making up lies to put himself in the news, at least some of what he said weren't true. And so when you start making up a bunch of stuff, then, you know, you're back at square one. So a long answer to say that North Carolina, the reason why we don't know their players anymore, because they can't get those one and done. They can't get the superstars.
You just became the first person that I've heard refer to the Ole Miss process as going somewhat quickly.
Yeah, compared to North Carolina.
Ole Miss people will tell you it's crawling at a snail's pace. So is this the best job that Roy Williams has done? Because they're arguably they're a two seed. They're certainly a contender to get to the Final Four. They've been very, very good all season without a bunch of household names. Is this his best job?
Yeah, I think the last 2 years it's the best job he's done because he's been able to keep those guys that they play for the Tar Heels that we just mentioned. He's been able to keep them in uniform for 3 or 4 years. He's been able to keep their commitment to the school, and they've stuck it out, and they've turned into juniors and seniors. And because he has so many college solid upperclassmen, that's why they're in this position. Now I would say this to you, Neil. 10 years ago, 20 years ago, I don't think this North Carolina team would have a prayer of winning the national championship because we had so many more people that stayed for 2, 3, 4 years. And because that doesn't happen anymore, I don't think the game is as good as it once was. I don't think there's as much talent at that level as there once was. But I think North Carolina can win the national championship. I think that they're one of 6 or 7 teams that has a chance to truly go to Arizona this April and win it all. I mean, they were so close, obviously, last year, and it does. It does speak to the job he's done. Now, there are a lot of people, the ABCers, as they are called, anybody but Carolina. There are so many people in this state that hate North Carolina and think that it's ridiculous that Roy and the university and the football program and the academics, athletics, you name it, hasn't been shut down. I mean, there are so many people that are outraged that they haven't been brought to justice yet. So it's a very controversial topic and has been literally for 7 years.
It's crazy. It can't something
7 years.
You can get a murder trial and an appeal done in 7 years.
Yeah. So you're right. The Ole Miss, I'm not trying to suggest the Ole Miss story is going quickly, but come on, 7 years this has been going on at UNC. And we had the Nevin Shapiro situation. We had all the horror at Penn State. We've had this Ole Miss story. We've had USC. We've had all these other things come and go. Yeah, Baylor. Good God, how bad that is.
See, and it's now, such a bad look for the NCAA, Taylor. This isn't me defending Ole Miss or whatever, because I'm on record now 1,000 times about Ole Miss. I think it's a witch hunt, yet at the same time, I think they were super sloppy and did some stupid stuff, and whatever happens, and I don't know. It's a complex thing. Yet, here's this thing at Baylor that just continues to unravel, and the NCAA, at least to this point, hasn't even really given it lip service. They certainly don't appear to want to step into the middle of it and say this is reprehensible. And so on the other hand, you have this Ole Miss case where if Ole Miss is guilty of everything it is accused of, and I'm not saying it is, I'm not saying it isn't, I don't know, we'll see. If they are, we're talking about roughly $40,000 in 5 years, 6 years. I mean, come on, really? I mean, we're shutting down programs over that, and then you've got the situation at Baylor where there are people that are being paid off to cover up rapes. It's insane, and
it is.
I don't think it's a good look for college sports at all.
No, it really isn't. And I have to tell you, I cringe. My producer every morning sends us all these links, you know, to stories that are going on, and I mean, we're at a Cal Ripken streak level. Of how many straight days he is, I have 3 or 4 just awful, nauseating stories. And like everyone else listening, I don't want to talk about that. It's not, and there are situations where I feel like, okay, well, we have to talk about this. But everyone driving to school, I mean, think about this. And it's not a matter of being scared to talk about the truth. You and I, Lord knows, have talked about so many. I mean, I felt you and I years ago were doing a court reporter show instead of necessarily a sports show. And with all that was going on at Alabama and the T. Martin situation at Tennessee, and it's still obviously that takes up a lot of time today. But Neil, given how divisive we are right now as a country and how angry people are, I feel more than ever that in the morning, especially when they're getting in their car, taking their children who are in the car to school every morning, they want to laugh. They want to have fun. Man, we've turned on this college football / college sports show to have some fun. Let's talk some smack about our teams and what do we have next year, etc. That's what they want. That's what they expect. And that doesn't mean we're going to be negligent and not discuss bad stories. But I have to tell you, it does. It makes me cringe how much of that is going on. And you're right. I mean, it's interesting. Recently, we have this famous caller, or he thinks he's famous, that calls in Mississippi, and his name is the litigator. And the litigator in Mississippi calls into our show, and he's a huge Ole Miss fan. And he said, Taylor, I have to tell you, I understand we screwed up, but I think we have information on other schools, and I want to take down the whole conference with me. I want to burn the whole thing down. Does that make me a bad person? Well, Tony Barnhart was listening and wrote a story, actually, on that phone call and all the calls that came after it. But we've had a fascinating discussion about that in the last couple of weeks since you've been on, and we've had all these calls that we've taken. And I don't think it's in Ole Miss's best interest to burn down the whole conference, too. I mean, come on. That would do more damage to them. But in the same respect, I'd be angry too if I were an Ole Miss fan. I would have all kinds of reason to believe that some of my neighbors have probably done worse. And you just mentioned one of the ultimate worst case scenarios that's happened in Waco, Texas. So, you know, one part of you wants to say, you know what, we got to face the music for being stupid. And then the other part of you says, well, hold on a second. Why are we being taken to the cleaners and other programs are getting away with it?
And the answer is, if the NCAA can prove that there's a direct link into the football building, that's why. When people say, well, everybody else does it too, I always say, everybody else does what? Buys players? Yep. Buys players where you can trace it right back into the football building? Nope. Yep. That's the thing. And I'm not saying Ole Miss is guilty of that, because to this point, Ole Miss is disputing that. But the Committee on Infractions will determine that, and ultimately that's what this is going to be about. When people say, everybody in the SEC cheats, yes, everybody in the SEC cheats. Anyone who tells you that the SEC schools don't cheat, they're insane. Of course they cheat. They have layers of it, though. There's if an investigator tries to get to the source, he or she can never get there. You get finally just run out of layers, and you get stuck. And that's what happens. And with Ole Miss, there's not enough layers, apparently, or allegedly.
Yeah, and to your point, the North Carolina situation, at least as it pertains to basketball, there are speculation, there are allegations that the basketball program, people underneath Roy Williams, steered players into certain classes, did some of their work for them. Now, of course, as you're saying, North Carolina will vehemently deny some of those allegations. But there are all kinds of people that believe that that's true. But to your point, nobody has proved it. Rashad McCants, the former Tar Heel basketball player that many remember that played on the 05 national championship team, he kind of started some of these allegations, and some of them were impossible. Like, it didn't make any sense. Literally, he didn't have his ducks in a row when he was making some of his claims. But the NCAA has tried to go back line by line to see what's true and what's not. And by the way, Greg Sankey, commissioner of the Southeastern Conference, is kind of spearheading this investigation on behalf of the NCAA. And so far, it's gone on for a couple of years, and they have not, at least to my knowledge yet, been able to prove that the evidence goes directly back to the North Carolina basketball team. So you're exactly right. That's completely what it comes down to.
Back on the court real quick. Just one quick question before I say, hey, give me your final four. I'm curious, in your opinion, is there a way to make college basketball popular again, or has that ship sailed?
I think there's a couple things that they can do. Now, short of changing the one and done, we're kind of putting lipstick on a pig, I think. I think that college basketball has turned into a niche sport. The March Madness is March Madness, and people are always going to love that for the tournament. But the regular season of college basketball has truly turned into a niche sport for big-time basketball fans. I think a couple things we could do. I think it's gotten better, by the way. I mean, you watch more college basketball than anybody. I think the Freedom of Movement initiative that was started a couple of years ago has really helped the flow of the game. I think that also the 30-second shot clock absolutely has improved. Why so many teams, I'm talking about you, Virginia, sit around the perimeter of the basket and dribble for 20 to 25 seconds before they want to get a shot off, I'll never understand. But I do think that those things have helped. Neil, I think we got to have the SEC Big 12 thing that they do the last week in January. I think the whole country needs to do that weekend. The weekend in between conference championships and the Super Bowl, I think that they need to have everybody. The ACC Big 10 needs to move to then. They need to have more good non-conference matchups in January and February. Now, another idea that a lot of people share is just turning it into a second semester sport. Just get out of the way of football. And I do think that that would help. If you just have a bunch of basketball in March, April, and May at the professional and collegiate level, I do think that that would get more people excited for college basketball, because half the season's over by the time they're done watching football. So I do think that those two things would help. But there's no question that the one and done, if Adam Silver wants to change this, the Players Association at the NBA level does not, but Adam Silver, the commissioner of the NBA, wants to change this. And the reason he wants to change this, and you being an NBA fan can appreciate this, if you go back in the last 12 years since the one and done was started, you absolutely could argue the more college you had, the better NBA player you're going to be. That's not true across the board. Kevin Durant, you know, is certainly an exception to that rule. There's plenty other one and dones that have been great. But for every Kevin Durant, I'll give you a Russell Westbrook. I'll give you a guy that did have an extra year of college, or two more years of college, or three more years of college that absolutely benefited from it. And these guys are not ready to play. There's so many 19-year-olds in the NBA that have no clue what it's like to be a grown-up. So until the Players Association is willing to make that change, college basketball is the one that is really going to suffer. I think what Silver would like to do is he would like to say either come straight into our league at 18 or go to college for a minimum of 2 years. And just one more year of college for at least 75% of these guys that would go to college. I don't think all of them would go pro. one more year to get to know who they are, an entire offseason to get to know who they are, I think would really benefit the sport. So I hope that day is coming. I don't think it's coming soon, though.
Who do you have in your Final Four?
All right, I keep making changes here because I think the UNC-UCLA game in the Elite Eight is going to be one of the games of the entire postseason. So as you probably know, I don't have Kentucky in the Elite Eight. I think UCLA is going to beat them in the Sweet 16. But I'm going to take Carolina. I'm going to take Carolina, Louisville, Arizona. Or I'm sorry, Carolina, Louisville, Gonzaga, and Villanova. And I've got North Carolina beating Gonzaga for the national championship. So, kiss of death to those four schools.
All right, I've got, just so you'll know how bad mine are, I've got Arizona and Kentucky because I watched Kentucky in person, and so that's recency bias. Kansas and Duke.
I like it. Kansas, I'm real curious about it. If you go one and done in your conference championship, you don't win the national championship. And they've had a lot of issues, by the way, off the court. But they do, I think, have the easiest region to get to the Final Four.
See, we talked about this on our other podcast this morning. We had David Malinsky on from Vegas, and he was pointing out that Jackson didn't play in that game, and when they've played their seven or eight guys, they've only lost once all year.
Yeah, they're great in close calls. And you're right, Jackson did not play in that game in Kansas City. But I don't know. We'll see. By the way, I'm going to Vegas for the first time ever for the tournament. I've been to Vegas, but never for the tournament. I'm going this weekend to watch college basketball in a casino, and chances are I'm not still going to be married when I come back because of what I've done to my children's college tuition funds. But I can't wait. This is a bucket list deal, so I'm pumped about it.
Yeah, I've never done it. I've always said, hey, I'm gonna go do that one of these days, and I guess I'm 47. I'm running out of time. If I'm going to do it, I need to go do it. I've just never followed through with it. I've talked to people who do, and they rave about it, how much fun it is. But
yeah, well, I mean, you have Ole Miss NIT games to go to, so.
Touché. Hey, before we turn the page to baseball and some golf, let me tell you about Snooze Mattress Company. It's 2202 Jackson Avenue West in Oxford. It's the place to go for all of your bedding needs. They've got all of the brand names that you know and love, Tempur-Pedic, Serta, Jameson, they're all there. Also sheets, linens, pillows, accessories, bed frames. They have set up and delivery options. Jacob Williams and his team there at Snooze do a fantastic job. You can get in touch with them at gosnooze.com. The podcast also is brought to you by LB's Meat Market. If Taylor ever slums it and makes his way to Oxford, we'll stop by LB's maybe one night and light up the big green egg. LB's right across from Kroger, 2008 University Avenue in Oxford, 662-259-2999. Greg Jones and the people there at LB's, just give them a call. They'll have your order ready, or you can go in and browse. They'll help you throughout all of it. The best cuts of meat anywhere you'll find in Oxford, it's there at LB's. All the sausages I tell you about all the time, the chicken feta, the chicken jalapeno, the pork sausage, the boudin, it's all there at LB's. And when you go in, grab a six-pack of beer out of the beer fridge. You get six of whatever different ones you want of the craft beer there and tell them, hey, I heard about it on the Beer Garden, and it's a six-pack for $6 just by saying you heard about it on the Beer Garden. That's at LB's Meat Market in Oxford, 662-259-2999. All right, let's talk some baseball because I'm curious. The season starts 2.5 weeks. Has your heart recovered from the David Price scare?
Oh God, not yet. No, it hasn't. That did. I mean, David Price is going to see Jim Andrews, and I did. I texted my brother. I said it's March 1st, and the season is over. That is the kiss of death. But thankfully, he's okay. So yeah, I think that Boston could have a huge year if they can count on him to be healthy. But anytime, you know, even though they say he's fine and it was just, you know, some issue in terms of inflammation with his elbow and he's going to be fine, you know good and well that still concerns me. The fact that they brought in Chris Sale to me is the biggest news of the offseason in all of baseball. I mean, that to me was the biggest acquisition in all of baseball. So I think that the Red Sox, if Price is healthy, is set up to win in October. If they get into the playoffs, they absolutely have no excuses not to be in the World Series and match made in heaven, face your Chicago Cubs, who on paper are they're the 1998 Yankees. They're the 2001 Mariners. I mean, this is a team for the ages, and not having to play with all of the curse crap that people talk about. I have to tell you, the Red Sox have been a totally different organization since that day in 2004. And I think that's about to happen for the Cubs too.
Yeah. You know, you always told me this, that it would be more fun. This has been the most fun off season. I watch spring games and there's no angst. I just watch and it's like, look, Kyle Schwarber hits a ball off the wall. I'm happy. I don't even worry about Jason Hayward. He has four hits the whole spring, and I'm like, it'll all work out. I'm so totally laid back about it compared to the angst of the past. It's amazing.
Yeah, the chase will never be the same. Now, that's the bad news. It'll never, ever be the same as it was. And certainly, you know, Ole Miss fans still can relate to this, unfortunately, being the only team in the SEC West that hasn't been to Atlanta. I guess we have to include A&M, I guess, has to be in that conversation now, too. But at least old school six, you know what I'm saying. There's that one kick. Who was the kicker in 03, Neil, that missed the kick against LSU? Great kicker.
Nichols.
If he makes that kick, then obviously they go. And I know people are like, Taylor, stop. This is killing me. But that Ole Miss fans can relate to that still right now, is that chase and the nerves that you have with that chase. And obviously how close they came without the Henry Heath 2 years ago. But once you knock that door down, it is a very different feeling, and you're about to experience that in baseball. By the way, another shameless plug, Ole Miss versus Mississippi State, SEC Network, baseball, April 25th.
Are you going to be in town?
Ole Miss and Mississippi State, my man.
How about that? That's in Oxford.
In Oxford.
Oh, we'll have to get together. How long will we be here? Just a couple of days or just one day?
Yeah, it looks like it'll be a quick trip, but I am pumped. I got a lot of college baseball coming up that I'm excited about. Rebels are pretty good this year, obviously. Ranked in the top 20 in the country, and big sweep over Furman. I'm paying attention. I've got Vandy this weekend, so
yeah.
Ole Miss is pretty good, but I got some good games with Auburn and Arkansas, and Vandy and Georgia, and Clemson, who's really good this year, coming up in the next few weeks. I'm pumped for some college baseball. As you know, college baseball, especially in the South, I think is the most undersold national sporting event that there is. I mean, in person is so much fun to see, and that's one thing as my responsibilities have changed in the last few years. That's one thing I've really, really enjoyed is getting to go to all these great college baseball venues.
Why do you think college baseball? I do think it's starting to get some traction nationally because there are more games on television. That's the key, and people can see it now. Why do you think it's taken so long for it to maybe begin to get a foothold nationally?
Yeah, that's a good question, because I think that probably it's too cold, to be honest with you, for teams in major northern markets to ever be any good. Like the Big Ten is horrible. Ohio State had a really good year last year. And if you had Ohio State, Notre Dame, you know, Penn State, it's not a bias. It's just so much of the news and where these media outlets are based are in the Northeast. So, and so many of them have huge alumni bases at the schools I just referenced, and those schools can't, because of weather, almost ever be any good in college baseball. Once in a blue moon, maybe, you know, if they have a bunch of returning juniors and seniors, but I think that's a huge reason for it, Neil. And then the other is you have to be on ESPN. And it's great that we're on ESPNU and SEC Network for all these games. But years ago, when ESPN needed inventory, I wish that there was a way they could have put all this college baseball on, because I think it would have been a sport that really appealed to the masses. And all these guys at the college level that are playing it so much for the love of the game. But if it's on F, you know, if it's not, and here's the deal. I understand ESPN's not as big a company as it once was. The way the world has changed, ESPN still dominates every other sports outlet. I mean, that's an honest, factual statement. It may not be as big as it once was, but no one else is really a threat in at the television level nationally to that company. And I say that to say this: if NBC Sports Network or CBS Sports Network or FS1 or 2 puts these games on, I mean, have you seen Skip Bayless's ratings?
They're non-existent.
Yeah, so it has to be on ESPN1, if you will, in order for people to really get behind it nationally. But I do think that SEC Network, especially with its creation the last couple of years, is a great thing for college baseball, because you know good and well in that area, SEC Network is something that everyone watches. It's one of a handful of channels that everyone in the Deep South watches. So I think that college baseball, I think, has benefited from the creation of that network. And when ACC Network launches in 2 years, I think it'll be a similar story in this area, because people love college baseball here.
So you have the Red Sox and the Cubs. That's who you're picking?
That's my pick, yeah. If David Price's arm stays attached.
Yeah, it'll stay attached. Although,
if not,
you're always terrified when they say forearm. You go, oh God.
Yeah, no kidding. If not, if he's not healthy, then you know what? I am going to say that it is a rematch from last year. Cleveland is I think Cleveland's a better team this year than they were last year, to be honest with you.
There's no doubt. They're healthy.
So, yeah, I think it would be. I'm going to pick a rematch from last year. If Price is right, pun intended, and he wasn't right last year. If he's the pitcher that the Red Sox bought for the most money ever, then there is no way Sale, Price, and the Cy Young winner, Porcello, there's no way you're beating all three of those guys in a 7-game series. I mean, I'm just trying to be objective. And I do. I really like their chances to get the World Series if those three guys are right in October.
Yeah, Kate Upton still very upset with Porcello winning the Cy Young. Just very upset about it. All right, so golf in a month. You'll be at the Masters. I'm going to impress you a little bit. I know the Arnold Palmer Invitational is getting started, and
that's
It's a big story that of course the late Arnold Palmer is being remembered, and they're talking about his legacy and his being missed there. The news, I guess, came out not so long ago, a few days ago, last Thursday, I think, Tiger Woods couldn't play. His back's bothering him still. Is he done?
You know, it's hard to know with his issue if he is completely done. But it's really alarming that he can't even come out publicly. I mean, he didn't even have a press conference in Los Angeles, where he is now, at least his foundation is running that great tournament in Los Angeles at Riviera. He has won Arnold's tournament 8 times. The fact that he can't come to the tournament, the fact that he can't be upright. There are several other guys on tour that I have talked to at length in the last few weeks. Steve Stricker is one of my favorite people in the world, a really good guy who's been on tour for a number of years. And Stricker has always been known as one of Tiger's closest confidants. And Stricker, on the record, because, I mean, I asked him halfway through this. I said, can I say some of these things? And he said, yes. He said, man, I am really worried about the guy. Like, he can't go to a restaurant right now. He's worried about sitting in public for more than 10 minutes if he has a spasm. It's a problem. It is a real problem. And you just he's had 3 surgeries on that part of his body, and there are nerves involved. And you can't just keep going in there. There's so many times you can just do surgery on your back and on the spine. So I say all of that to tell you that I think it's a long shot that Tiger is ever playing at a high level again. I think he might try to play in a tournament every so often, but it's a shame. It really is. And a lot of people think, well, he did it to himself, and maybe he did. But nevertheless, it is a shame, because we didn't get to see 5 to 10 more great years. Phil Mickelson's 46, and I'm telling you, Neil, he's going to win another major. He's 46. Tiger's 41. I mean, so we did. We missed 7 or 8 potential great years from Tiger where I absolutely think he would have broken Jack's record. And he brings so many more eyeballs into the sport, which is great for everyone, self-included, associated with the sport. And it's not the same when he's not there. I think we got a lot of fun things to talk about with all these young guys that are really helping the sport. Rory's going to win the Masters, by the way.
Really?
Yeah, you heard it here first. Rory's winning the Masters. But you have all these guys in their 20s that are great for the game. But you're the best seriously, you're the best barometer of this. You're not watching that. Maybe you'll turn over, you know, and see what's happening. But if Tiger's involved in the tournament, Jeff Ogilvy, who played on tour for a number of years, won the U.S. Open in 06 when Phil had one of his famous choke jobs. Jeff Ogilvy said, Phil Mickelson's gallery looks all the people in Phil Mickelson's gallery look exactly alike. All the people in Tiger Woods' gallery have never met each other and don't look anything like each other. And that's the greatest quote I could ever give about Tiger Woods and the impact he's had on the sport.
You know, I don't have anything against golf. I just never played. And yet, you're right. I think I am a pretty good barometer with sports like NASCAR, golf. There are only a handful of people that can get my interest and make me stay on the channel and not flip. He's one. I mean, when Tiger Woods was in the mix on a major on even Saturday, I was watching. I watched.
Yeah.
I either wanted to see what would happen. Can someone beat him? Is he going to do it again? What's he going to do? It was must-watch television for me. I mean, there would be it's Sunday. It's baseball season, so the Cubs may have a game, and I'm flipping. And I'll go check the Masters, but if it's not compelling, I'm going to stick with the baseball game, or I'm going to stick with the NBA playoff game, or I'm going to go outside and do something. But if it were if it were Tiger Woods, I'm locked in. I'll catch up with the Cubs later. And, you know, I mean, so the hardcore golf fan doesn't get that. It's like with NASCAR. When it was Jeff Gordon, when it's Dale Earnhardt Jr., two or three guys like that, okay, I'm watching. If it's just some guys that I know, I understand that they're at the top of their game. I get that. But they don't – I'm just very casual in that regard, and I don't care. They don't do anything for me.
And NASCAR's really dead, by the way. Has completely fallen apart because of the reasons you just mentioned. I have a trivia question for you, okay?
Okay.
Non-majors, not counting the U.S. Open, Masters, PGA, or British Open. What was the highest rated golf tournament last year on cable?
Non-majors. The Tiger Woods Invitational?
You're close. The Tiger Woods Hero World Challenge in December, when he came back to the sport in the middle of the offseason in December in the Bahamas, with only 20 people in the field, had the highest rating on cable television for any non-major golf tournament in 2016.
If
that's
surprised.
Not the greatest example of his impact still today on the game, I don't know what is.
And I get so tired of the people that say, well, he got what he deserved. That makes me so angry. That is absurd. I mean, look, he did a series of bad things. I get it. He had a problem. But he paid for it in ways that most people never have to pay for it.
He is still paying for it and will never, ever stop paying for it. Tiger Woods is more approachable today than he's ever been before. And I have really enjoyed being in his company because of how approachable he has been the last couple of years. But make this clear, Neil, that man will wear shame on his face for the rest of his life, and he is still so skittish in public, or not even in public. I was with him in a private setting at the Ryder Cup after the United States won in Minnesota in October, and this is one of the most joyous occasions. The United States has won the Ryder Cup. He was a huge asset as a vice captain, and every person on the team raved about his interest level and how committed he was to that job. Just as important as Davis Love, who was the captain. And that should have been one of the most joyous times for him. And he did. He enjoyed himself. But still, he is so skittish around everyone for the rest of his life because he does. He wears shame on his face. So you're right. Look, everybody can be vicious about what happened, and no one can would ever condone it. But I mean this. And I don't – some of you are going to roll your eyes. I mean this. I wouldn't trade places with that man for all of his money. No way. My life is so much more fulfilled personally and professionally than I think his will ever be. And it's a shame. And we could do hours just on this topic alone. But it's a shame. He has a huge hole in his life that he created. So for those that say he needs to pay for it, trust me, that's happening.
Yeah, he has paid for it. And when people say that, I always want to do those who haven't, you know, if you haven't sinned, cast the first stone. And then right. And then shut up. You don't know what was going on in his life. I have a sympathy for him. I do, because you live in that fishbowl, and I'm not sure that entire fishbowl was created by him. I'm not sure it was something he was ever completely comfortable with. And then I hear people who know him fairly well who say that at the end of the day he's still a very, very good dad, and he's wonderful with his kids. And I don't know. At some point, some of it is none of my business, and I wish him happiness. I wish he had his health back. I wish he could play at the highest levels. I think it would be fun to watch, and I think it's not tragic. That's not the right word, but it's unfortunate that he can't do that, because I think it's the one thing he really loves to do. And then I think it's a shame that we don't. I feel like we kind of got cheated. We don't get to see just how great he could have been, and then maybe even more importantly, how great he could have made some other people.
Yeah, and we won't ever – I don't think we're ever going to get that final chapter. I hope I'm wrong. I hope that somehow he's able to recover from this and he's able to play again, because I think everyone listening would benefit from that in terms of how much they watched and how in terms of how much golf they played. I think that everyone would benefit from it and be a hell of a story, but I'm very doubtful. I'm very pessimistic at the moment.
All right, last thing. You said Rory wins the Masters. That's breaking right here on the Beer Garden. You said
yes.
Phil Mickelson will win a major. Give me three other names in golf this golf season that you think are going to be in the mix most every major Sunday.
Well, Dustin Johnson's the best player in the world, and he's not just ranked number one. He is the best player in the world. This guy from tee to green is it's just remarkable, his athleticism. You know, Phil Mickelson is on the record saying you have to be really smart or really dumb in order to be really good at golf, and I'm just going to leave that right there after I just talked about Dustin Johnson. Nevertheless, Dustin Johnson
– I've heard stories. Yeah.
Yes. Dustin Johnson is number one in the world, and he is going to be a factor all the time. He is in the best place mentally in terms of his life. His fiance, Paulina Gretzky, is pregnant again. He's very comfortable in his own skin. He came through, not to the Tiger level, but he came through a very embarrassing, humiliating off the golf course issue, and he has seen the other side of it and is not embarrassed by it anymore. And so he's playing with a piece about him right now. So I would include him in the mix. Rory absolutely is going to continue to be in the mix. I'm a little more concerned about Jason Day's health. He's had some lingering back issues, and he comes – nicest guy you'll ever meet, Neil, but he comes across as a bit of a hypochondriac. Jordan Spieth has the greatest short game I have seen – In my life. I mean, many would say Seve, Ballesteros, or others before my time. And as long as I've been around, I've never seen someone that's chipper and a putter as good as Jordan Spieth is. And for those reasons, he'll always be a factor. So Spieth, Rory, Dustin Johnson, and then the other guy is Jordan Spieth's best buddy, I think is going to be an even better player, win more majors than Spieth, and that's Justin Thomas. This guy is the real deal, and obviously has exploded in the last few months, played at Alabama and won national championships there. Great. Talks a lot of trash on and off the golf course. Huge, somewhat obsessed, sometimes annoying Alabama football fan. But he is. He's got to be in the mix too. And I'll give you a. I'm going to give you another bold pick. McIlroy at the Masters this year. I'm going to go ahead and tell you Phil's going to win the U.S. Open next year. And I'm going to tell you Sergio Garcia is going to win the British Open in England this July. So there's some bold picks for you.
That is a lot of bold picks. That's more breaking golf picks than anybody else has. And on my show, what are the odds?
Yeah, you're jack of all trades now. I'm all fired up about to go into this beer cave and get six different beers for $6. I'm still fired up about that.
If you let me know when you'll be here, I can hook you up. We can make something happen. I assure you of that, Mr. Zarger.
Yes, sir.
All right, my man. I appreciate it as always. Hope the family's doing well. Tell Betsy and the kids and your mom and everyone I said hi, and I'll see you soon, I hope.
Happy belated birthday to Caroline, I believe.
Yeah,
and
14
to all your. I cannot believe that. That's crazy.
Isn't that crazy?
But yes, all the best to your family. I love being on with you, my man.
All right, my man. I do same. I love you, and talk to you soon.
All right, you too.
Bye. Again, our thanks to Taylor for his time this week on the Beer Garden. Always good to have him on. We'll have him back on a little later in the year. We'll catch up on some golf. We'll talk. Some more Major League Baseball, some college baseball with him. And obviously in the summer, we'll get his thoughts on the college football season as we start to turn our attention to 2017. The Beer Garden is also brought to you by Strategic Partners in Media. SPM is a full-service advertising and public relations firm doing business throughout the country. It works with companies of all sizes, from Fortune 500 companies to local startups. The logic's pretty much simple. No matter whether you're working for a big Fortune 500 or a mom and pop, they find a way to tell a story about a client that captivates an audience that eventually does business with the client. They focus first and foremost on developing a winning and unique strategy for their clients, and sometimes it requires different things. Sometimes it's about an aggressive digital and social media plan. Sometimes it's about producing a captivating television advertisement. Crafting a corporate communications plan, whatever it is, whether it's good times or bad, SPM can find the right path forward. They master their craft in the rough and tough political advertising world. They have decades of advertising experience and a unique perspective to advertising, in addition to a tireless work ethic that's rooted from their days in nonstop campaigns. If you have a business that needs a message that will resonate with your customers, email Austin Barber at Austin@strategicpartnersmedia.com. Austin@strategicpartnersmedia.com. Again, our thanks to Taylor today. Our thanks to Chris Landry, Ryan Brown earlier in the week. It's been a fun week on the Beer Garden. We'll be back next week. We'll continue to keep our eye on the NCAA tournament. We'll continue to get ready for the Major League Baseball season, now about 2 weeks away as I record this, about 16 days away. Cubs and Cardinals open on that Sunday night, and then everybody gets started on Monday. So the Major League Baseball season is upon us, and so we'll talk about that a little more. We'll preview some other divisions. I know some of you want an in-depth look at the Atlanta Braves, the National League East, so we will try to get to that sometime in the next week or two. For Taylor, I'm Neil McCready. Thanks for listening to the Oxford Crystal Beer Garden. We'll talk to you next week.